sharing from the passage about Peter's journey of recovery, from bruised and broken to built up and full of faith. We've all gone through a bit of that, and the cross reminds me that I am once saved, forever saved. In this sense that I need no other sacrifice but to go back again and again to the cross, because the cross covers it all. It's important for me to know that once I've received my salvation and discovered my new life, that when I stumble, when I miss the mark, when I feel a bruise or abuse, the cross is still effective. That's really vital. Hey, before I take you to my passage of scripture, I also wanted to say, I committed to an announcement, to sharing an announcement today, and this is the announcement. We feel, in Mandela Bay particularly, that it is time to gather in more services than we've done so far. This province currently has the lowest number of cases in the land, 207 across the province, and 34 in Mandela Bay. We're allowed to gather 250 or less, 50% of venue. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to run a 9 a.m. service as we have all along. We'll keep the 6 p.m. service as we have all along, both going online. But we're adding a 10:15 service. Just a little gap in between so you can say hello to each other in the parking lot. But we can share the parking lot because it's big enough for thousands, right? We'll add a 10:15 finishing at 11, a 45-minute service. It will not go online, and we, the staff, will serve you so that it is not volunteer-heavy. If you want to jump in and serve, you're welcome to, but we as a staff will serve you a church service at 10:15, starting next Sunday, 9 a.m., 10:15, 6 p.m. Can we have a hallelujah for that? And then sometime in May, we'll get back to you on this, we'll add a 5 p.m., also 45 minutes, also not broadcast online, so that we can fuel and fire up the engines. 6 p.m. stays where it is. Both of those add-on services are 45 minutes, but not a compromise at all. The gospel is as effective in 45 minutes as it is in 55, surely. And everybody said, amen. First come, first seated. The online stuff, very tricky. So we're not going to do that. People book and then they don't make it. And other people go, I know George, that's the same as booking. So Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3 says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. It's a little description of what Jesus does. And it reminds us that no matter, hallelujah, what is that? I thought it was like the Oscars. We're done now. You can, mic disappears, music starts, go home. Do you know, this is what I wanted to talk to you about. Peter thought he messed up badly. I mean, he denied Jesus in front of everybody, and Jesus knew it because there was that rooster that announced to the heavens, he did it 3 times. He rejected Christ. But I also want you to learn from that passage of scripture and Peter's story that as bruised as he was and as snuffed out as the flame may have seemed, this verse and the way Jesus works with Peter reminds me that it isn't all lost. You're not broken beyond repair, and the fire's never gone out so much that you're dead cold. I'm reminded that there's just enough kept by my Heavenly Father, protected and alive, that it can spark into fire again. You know, we'll end this service on a conversation where Peter's properly on fire, literally tongues of fire. But in the meantime, if you feel like you're at that breaking point, I want you to know that you haven't broken beyond repair. And if you used to be a follower and you got beaten about a bit in your spiritual journey, either by taking a step of faith and something faltered, or because some believer did something, or because an experience in church put you off, I want you to know that that's not the final chapter or the end of the story. It's also not rare to you. We've all had an experience of some kind that left us feeling bruised. I've sat in church services and listened to a sermon and felt bruised afterwards because my sin was revealed to me, but my Savior wasn't. And if you don't reveal the one without the other, you just leave injury. But I want to encourage you that Peter found a healing in the journey. So far, we've talked about how to find that healing, that you can believe without understanding, that you don't have to have another miracle for God to show himself. And now I want to take you to that very part we started a conversation on earlier. And we'll take three sentences out of it and learn something more on how to go from bruised to built up again. John chapter 21, it says, I'm going out to fish. Peter. Simon Peter, of course, Simon. Simon, there he is. Simon Peter told them and they said, we'll go with you. And so they went out, got into the boat, but by night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved, the disciple rather who Jesus loved. Can I just do a little humor on the author there? Do you guys know who the disciple is that Jesus loved? Anyone know his name? Just as a quick shout out. Yeah, John. Who's writing this? Really? Talking about himself in the third person as the one Jesus loved. Hi, what's your name? I'm the one Jesus loved, thanks. He wraps his outer garment around him, and which he had taken off, jumps into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, and there was fish on it. And some bread. I find it interesting that the fish was there already and the fire was there already and the Savior was there already. And I just want you to know that wherever you are in your spiritual journey, at the station of your next step, he's there already. The provision is planned already. The way he's worked it, just be patient. Don't get hurt. Be patient. He's prepared a way for you. He's prepared a way for you. Oh man, I'm so impatient, and when I'm impatient, I get bruised. It's not the Lord's fault, it's kind of my fault, but I kind of blame the Lord. I'm so impatient. Oh, Cape Town, we need a venue, a permanent venue. I'm so impatient. We need LED screens because I think Jesus should be shown in 1.2 pixel. LED color. Oh, I'm so impatient. Ah. Every now and then, I watch my international pastors, colleagues and friends and their fancy buildings around the world. And I think, oh, Lord, for one in Mandela Bay, Kebecha. Port Elizabeth. Lord, we'll name it anything you want to name it, just the LED screen. You know, Lord, we want to put your name up in lights, Lord. You get impatient. Peter was impatient. He said, I'll go with you wherever you go. The soldiers won't take you. I'll top off an ear. I mean, we didn't even get to talk about the ears. Whereas he should have been listening, he was cutting. Cheesy, hey? But you know, the reality is that he hurt himself along the way. Some of it was other people's fault, and some of it was his fault, and some of it was his journey. But there's something really beautiful about the story as it unfolds on that day. And it is the fact that in so many things, in that final meeting, Jesus fixed something Peter misunderstood. I love that. I love that although I am impatient, the Lord is so patient with me. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that he approaches it again and again until the lights come on. I want you to see how many times the lights come on for Peter in this story. And by the time Jesus is finished, in just 50 days from renouncing, 57 if you want to be really technical, but 50 days from renouncing Jesus, he's the first great preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And 3,000 people get born again in just one day. How can so much change in your life in 50 days? How can so much change? Well, I'll tell you, you put the Spirit of God in anything and it begins to change immediately. Resurrection life surges into it. What is dead is made alive. What is disconnected is connected. What is bruised is healed. And what looks like the fire is out, the fire is bright. A couple of things. The first is crossing currents. Do you know there's a lot in the Bible about getting through or across a sea? Joshua crossed the Jordan River. The children of Israel crossed the Dead Sea. And Peter swam from a boat to the land. Do you know, all of us have something we've got to get across. In an ocean, in a current, in a river, there is opposition. Things don't always go with the current. Sometimes they go against the current. Peter, remember, a few chapters ago, maybe a year ago, you know, they only knew Jesus for 3 years. This wasn't old news to them. This was still fresh. Peter got out the boat. Jesus was on the water. And he said, "Can I also walk on water?" And Jesus said, "Go for it." And he did. And he noticed the waves. And he noticed the anxiety and the fear. And he began to sink. Do you know what he decided this time? "I don't need to get fancy with my faith. I need to get to my Savior. Don't need to try walk on water. Today I'm just going to swim. And when I get on the other side, the miracle will happen on the shore." And he didn't have time to worry about it. He was happy to put in the effort to get to his Savior because he knows there lies his true and full identity. You know, you've got to put in a little bit of work sometimes. Not to be saved, but to be whole. Do the work. You know, it's dead quiet now. Nobody wants to hear about doing the work on a long weekend. People are like, "I came to church to have a good cup of coffee and relax, and now the Arab guy is telling me to do the work." But there's work to be done. You must do the work of forgiving. You must do the work of recommitting. You must do the work of reaching. You must do the work of swimming across or walking across or stepping up. When you do that, your bruising is healed. You don't get healed static. You can't sit at home. You know, one of the great crimes of a spirit of criticism is that it makes you inactive while you criticize. I've never met an active critic. You're stationary when you're criticizing. You're standing and criticizing. You're typing and criticizing. You're lounging on the couch and criticizing. What you are not doing is building and criticizing, walking and criticizing, swimming and criticizing. You can't do that. You see, the very act of criticism is a paralysis, and that is its true sin. That is its true crime. But when I'm stepping out, I don't have time to at the same time swim and criticize, at the same time ask forgiveness and criticize, at the same time be bruised and be made whole. I chose a path, and I leave the one behind, and I am going to my Redeemer and my Savior. Get it to the work. You know, the second thing that I find very powerful about this passage of scripture is that when he gets to the shore, I couldn't read all of it just for the sake of time. By the way, on Friday, how's this for funny? On Friday, we had a few comments that something's gone terribly wrong with the sound. It was broken at the beginning, you know? Well, let me tell you what it was. I'll make a confession. I had left my mic on and started to sing. And everybody said, "The system is broken. The audio is a disaster." Look, the production, they didn't tell me. They think I don't know, but I know I overheard. So that's why they kept asking me all morning, "Pastor, you'll switch it off, eh, Pastor? When you finish talking, you'll switch it off, eh?" I told you I can't sing. I'll stick to my game. Thank you. I'll stay in my calling. The second thing that's so powerful is that when he gets there, Jesus prepares some food. That's where the fish thing comes from. And he feeds them. Do you know that the meals are sometimes more important than the meetings? And in our spiritual journey, sometimes you just don't need to learn anything. You just have to be in the company of the saints. People say, "Has the church changed forever? Will we only do online? Will we only do church on Zoom?" Let me tell you, you can learn on Zoom and you can learn online, but we can't break bread online. We can't share a meal together. I can't say to you, pass the... There's something about that, you know. Whatever the future looks like, I have great confidence that it will include Zoom, online, it'll include gatherings, and it'll include in person to break bread, to just sit and be. Sometimes we get so busy. I'm guilty of that, that my faith journey becomes a task, an organization and a structure, and I forget that what it really is a meal with family and friends, that it is a gathering for a conversation. And the power of all of that is that that's where Peter first met Jesus. You see, his brother Andrew went and fetched Simon Peter, said, let me take you to the Savior. I'll take you to his house, not just the temple. Make sure that you have a faith that is not only so in a temple, but it is also so in your house. You'll get bruised otherwise. You see, I can't be bruised if at home I'm whole. That when I come to church or when I'm having an experience that is negative, or I've had criticism, or I might feel it a bit, but it's okay because my faith is also a meal I enjoy every day. Peter had to learn, let's just sit and eat together, Peter. How awkward must that breakfast have been? I mean, just out of interest, Jesus is passing the fish and a bit of bread. Oh, by the way, it wasn't the first time Peter saw a meal of fish and bread. You see, he was there. See, now I'm going to get emotional again. And I deliberately didn't take coffee in large quantities today because I thought it made me emotional on Friday. It wasn't the first time Peter saw fish and bread feed, because he was there 2 years before when the 5,000 needed a meal. And it was Peter who asked Jesus, how do we feed so many? Surely the need is too great. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. Give me a couple of fish and a loaf of bread or two. I'll get it done. And I want you to know, there is manna in heaven enough and the bread of life sufficient, that when you pray, give us this day our daily, he's got it ready from heaven for you. Can you imagine how many times that morning Peter had a flashback? Oh, the man who said, cast your net on the other side, I remember that. The man who said, come to me, I'll swim this time. The man who said, you have a need? Give me some fish and some bread and I'll fix it. The third thing about that morning was that Jesus knows how to bind bruises. It takes a skill to bind a bruise. You know, it's a little easier to stitch a cut. The bleeding is obvious. But a bruise is a hard thing to deal with, an emotional bruise. It's so hard to know what to say to someone when a relative passes away. You're not quite sure how to handle it, you know? You know, if you say, well, the Lord picked the best flowers first, it sounds so cheesy and it doesn't really heal the hurt and you're not quite sure how to handle it. Well, Jesus knows. And Jesus will give you the words of encouragement you need. Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Of course I do, Lord. Then feed my sheep. He asked him a second time. This is awkward now. Peter, do you love me? Lord, I promise I do. Well, feed my sheep. Surely he's not going to ask it again. But he does. Peter, one more thing. Do you love me? I don't know what else to say, but I do. And then it dawns on him that for every rejection three times before the rooster, Jesus gave him the opportunity to make a counter statement of correction three times. So that what he will remember is the thing he reinforced. Because you live what you reinforce. If you spend all week saying, my city is useless, then come to church and say, I love my city. It's not enough. The statements of reinforcement will become the statements of direction. So you have to correct the statements by making declarations of faith. Peter, do you love me? Yes. Strike one, done. Do you love me? Yes. Strike two, done. Do you love me? Yes. Strike three, done. What you said that day is off the record. Oh man, I do so love the strategy and method of my great physician, Jesus Christ. I bet there are a lot of people watching, and I hope you'll share this afterwards. You had a run-in with Christianity. Maybe you were on fire at some point. You even volunteered. That's how hectic you were. You came to two services a day. You know, nowadays, sort of two services a year. No, two services a day. You know, and somewhere along the line, something didn't work out. Like me, perhaps you were bruised because you auditioned for band. And they kept saying, I'll get back to you. 20 years, I'm waiting now. They'll get back to me. Something happens along the way. It didn't work out, you know. You're in good company. Peter had it. Moses had it. Killed a man by mistake trying to do God's will. Said, forget it. I'm going to go look after sheep. How appropriate. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Because everything you could possibly encounter on the negative, the cross corrected to the affirmative for all of mankind, for all of eternity. Calvary truly covers it all. A moment ago, I said perhaps you were in that category. And you, like Peter on that day, felt cold, tried to warm himself. But I want you to know, the fire is not all out. And the reed is not all broken, for by his stripes we are healed. You are now at an open tomb. Why don't you do yourself a favor and come out of yours? Don't play dead before your time. Live life until that time. Can you say amen to that? So in a moment, we've come to the end of our conversation, I'm going to pray a prayer. My prayer will be twofold. The one, for those of you who might feel broken and bruised to be healed. And two, for those of you who have followed from a distance, observing this whole thing called the faith. And today, without having full understanding, but enough to believe, you will accept and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Something I believe that will become a revival in the land in the next year or two. A humanity that realizes science couldn't fix it all because Christ is still Lord and Savior. Was that almost clappable? Someone at the back, almost. Thank you. So would you all please stand with me wherever you are. If you're watching online, Toti, I know you're there. I'm greeting you too. Wherever you're watching, Durban, Pretoria, Joburg, I have some friends. Hi, Gary. Wherever you're watching, guys on the road are watching. Let's pray these two prayers together. And in your heart, you can just repeat the words. Now, if this hits you hard, hits you home, you can comment and say, I'd like to chat to someone, or I'd also like to meet a pastor, maybe go get baptized at the ocean or get to a church somewhere. We can walk you on the walk, but you start with your first step. And so let's pray. This will be my prayer for those of you who need to cross the line and receive Christ. You just mouth that in your own heart. I'll lead you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of an awakening. My eyes have opened. I realize a few things, that I am bruised and broken. I am a sinner, unable to sort myself out. And so I need you. thank you for an open invitation and an open door. You welcome me to this new relationship. Please come into my heart. Take charge. Forgive me from my sins and be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.